recorded right on my. I'm telling you, the struggle be real. Y'all just don't understand the struggle with technology. That's why I have all, you see all these computers and backups. Let me tell you, I got everything. I got it. I really get it fought against on this stuff. All right. Tonight in the School of Deliverance, there's not a handout. I'll send it. This is so much in this, and I just didn't get a chance to finish putting my notes together in a way that y'all could understand. This is kind of the way I understand it. But anyway, tonight we're talking about insight into the occult. Insight into the occult. Let's just go right on into it. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. All right, so we're going to define occult by a supernatural, a mystical, magical beliefs, practices, or phenomena. That's what an occult is. Something supernatural, mystical, magical beliefs, or practices, or phenomena. Some more illustrations of an occult is the paranormal, supernaturalism, magic, black magic, witchcraft, sorcery, necromancy, wizardry, the black arts, diabolism, devil worship, devilry, voodoo, hoodoo, white magic, witchery, mysticism, all runs in that category. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Now, believe it or not, the first mention or the first understanding that we get about the occult is found where? In Genesis. So those of you who are going to be with Bible study with me tomorrow, you're going to hear this again. But in Genesis chapter 10, verse 8 through 10, the Bible says, "Now Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth." Now, if you don't go and look at this in your Hebrew, you're going to miss exactly what God is intending for us to understand out of this particular passage. Genesis 10, 8 through 10. So he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, right? That's what the Bible says. "Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar," which is modern day Iraq or Babylon. Babylon is modern day Iraq. So you find that the occult actually introduces, or the introduction of the occult begins in Genesis. That's why I love Genesis, y'all. I'm crazy about Genesis. Because everything is there. Everything is there. You're talking about the beginning. That's where it's at. And so you find in the very beginning, this happens right after the flood, right after God judged the earth, wiped everything clean. Some of y'all know the story. Noah was planting a vineyard. Noah got drunk. Praise God. No fault of his own. He was uncovering his tent. His sons going in, Cush and Ham going there and uncover his nakedness, try to make fun of him. His older brothers say, "No, we're not going to do that. We're going to cover." And that's the apostolic message. I won't get into that. But anyway, Noah curses Cush and Ham, that whole tribe. He curses them, okay? So anyway, you find that right after this happens, Nimrod comes along. And so what Nimrod says is, God will never flood the earth again. And I'm going to make sure of it. I'm going to build a pyramid or a tower all the way to heaven. So if there's another flood, we'll run up to the top and be safe. So here you find, remember what Jesus said, right? He said, "I am the door. I'm the way. I'm the door." He said, "If any come up beside me," he said, "the same as a thief and a robber." So Jesus is the way. Well, Nimrod was trying to make his own way. And that's what the religion, that's what occultism is all about. Trying to get to God by any means necessary. Your own way. And so Nimrod does this. And so the act of the Tower of Babel by itself was an affront. It was an offense to God. It was to say, "You'll never do this to us again. You'll never destroy our ancestors again. We're going to make sure that God doesn't come and kill us all over again. We're going to build a tower. We're going to reach heaven. So God, if you try to flood the earth, we're going to be safe." You know that won't work. But he thought it did. Okay? Well, the Bible says God saw it. God came down to inspect it. And you know the story. God, he scattered them abroad. He confused the language and drove them into other areas of the Lord. That's why we have all these different languages. Now, you can thank Nimrod for having to learn Spanish, Chinese, and everything else you got to learn today. So, but anyway, back to Nimrod. Nimrod's name means rebellion. And we know what Samuel says, what 1 Samuel 15, how rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So we see this man is the personification of witchcraft. He is the father of the occult. He is the father of the religious movement. Nimrod, found in Genesis. Now, the Bible calls Nimrod a mighty hunter before the Lord. And again, if you're just reading it and kind of passing it by, you're going to think that he was on God's side. That's not what that meant. What it meant was he was a hunter of men against God. What Nimrod would do, his five keys to Nimrod's system. He gradually changed the government into a tyrannical government to where they served him. And he would force people to serve him. That's why he was called a hunter, because he would hunt them down, enslave them, and force them to serve him. So he set himself up to be their God. I will protect you. You work for me. You do what I say. He was a mighty hunter of men before the Lord, or against God is really what it should say. So he changed the government, okay? Because during that time, people were building gods and multiplying, that they were following the kingdom of God, the dominion of God. Nimrod came along and changed the system. And that's what religion does. It changes things. It makes it more complicated. The gospel should be simple. Just love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Religion says you got to wear this. You got to do it that way. You got to have this on the first Sunday. If you miss communion, you die and you're going to hell. Cannot have it on third Sunday. You just can't do it. And everybody got to be have all white on. You see what I'm saying? So religion sets these rules. And it sets these systems in place to make your life more difficult. Jesus said, I come that you may have life. Have it more abundantly. Religion said, I come to bind you up to man's system. So this is what Nimrod did. He changed the government to a tyranny. And you know, he turned people from fearing God to fearing him. Second thing he did, he sought revenge on God for the flood. Now he's hallelujah. So he's seeking revenge. And he's going to make sure that God never drowns the world again. Because now these people are his. And they're serving him. And so he's going to build this tower. And he's going to make sure that they're safe. And God, you'll never be able to destroy the earth like this again. We're going to make sure of it, God. He's going to build a tower so high that the waters won't be able to reach it. Now, how he was going to fit the whole earth and humanity in there, I have no idea. Maybe, I guess, just those in his upper court. I don't know. Anyway, the third key is what he did was in direct opposition to God. He opposed the things of God, and he did his utmost to cause people to forsake the Lord. So in the fourth key, everything he did was in defiance. He defied. That's what a cult is, a defiance, an open rebellion against God. God, we don't want your Jesus. We don't want your word. We don't want the blood sacrifice. We're going to figure out how to be smart on our own. We're going to figure out how to do this thing on our own. We don't need you, God. And the fifth key of Nimrod's system was to be a hunter of men, to enslave men, to trap them by force. So this is where your slavery started. With Brother Nimrod. Okay? So now listen to this. Right after God did this, right? If you go in and you read chapter 10, you find out how God dealt with them. God came down, scattered the folks, whatever, sent them their way. Now listen, God didn't destroy Nimrod, though. He just destroyed the tower. So there was still this occult system in the earth. We see that today, don't we? And so I want to point that out again. God came down, scattered the people, destroyed the Tower of Babel, but he never destroyed Nimrod. He never destroyed Nimrod. But what did God do immediately after that? Abram, come out of your father's house. Come out of your country and go to a place. Listen, Hebrews picks it up like this. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelled in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Listen, he looked for a city which had foundations whose builder and maker was God. God saw this occult system being birthed in the earth. And what did he do? Make a way of escape.
Yes, Lord.
From that point forward, he called out the Hebrews. Because Abraham came out of the family of the Ebers, or the Shems. It's where you get the Semites. So he called Abram out. Check this out. He called Abraham and Sarai. He did not call Lot.
Amen.
So Lot was still under this Nimrod system, right? Yes. So that's why there was so much contention between Lot and Abram, to the point they had to separate.
This is so good.
So God calls Abraham out in Genesis chapter 12. You don't believe me, read it for yourself. God calls Abraham to say, he said, listen, you got to go. Because the whole, during that, his region, whatever the region he was in, was under this Nimrod system. God did not destroy the system. He destroyed the tower, and he scattered the people. But Terah, Abram's father, was still under that system. God said, Abram, I need you out of here. For what I'm doing in your life, you cannot be a part of this system. I'm not going to allow you to be, you're not going to serve Nimrod. You're not going to be under the power of Nimrod. I want you to come out and just go wherever I tell you. He didn't even tell Abram where to go because he didn't want nobody to know where Abram was going. Because Nimrod is a mighty hunter. So, Dad, I'm getting ready to go to the other side. I'll be back. Well, Dad is under this Nimrod system. Nimrod wants to know, where's Abram and Sarai? So God says, I won't tell you. You go. As you walk, that's why he was a father of faith. He had to step out of everything he knew, out of everything he loved, okay, and go off and do something, build a whole new family, praise God. That's why the Bible said, in him shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So anyway, I wanted to give you a good history of the occult, that Nimrod is the father of the occult. And you find right after God separated them, God came for Abram. He said, I got to preserve this race because this occult system is spreading across the earth, and I got to preserve my people. So the influence of the occult was so strong, God struck down the pyramid, scattered the people, confused the language, and called Abraham out. Now, from that point, you find, this is found in Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12, where God begins to deal with the occult. God warns the people about the occult. He says, when you come into the land, which the Lord your God has given you, he said, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Why? Because the occult system was still in the earth. He said, there shall not be found among you anyone who make his son or his daughter pass through the fire, which is sacrifice, or who practice witchcraft or a soothsayer, one who interprets omens, a sorcerer, one who conjures spells or medium or spiritist, or ones who call the dead. He said, for all of those who do these things are an abomination. The word abomination is the strongest word for hate that God ever used. So when you talk about necromancy or soothsaying or false, like we talked about in last class, false prophet, God uses the word abomination. It's a hate. It's the strongest form of hatred in our vocabulary that we got from God. Okay? And we know, I think in Proverbs, talk about seven things God hates. So the word abomination in the Hebrew is tobah. T-O-W-E-B-A-H. Tobah. And it means a disgusting thing, unclean, and wickedness. Again, that's the strongest language of hate that God uses according to our English language. So now we're going to look a little bit at some of today's occult practices, because we know what happened in those days. They built shrines and God brought Israel out of Egypt, told them, rob your neighbors, take the gold and silver, because I want you to start over and be blessed. Well, what did these cats do? They got in the woods. Moses is in the presence of God. They took all the stuff that God blessed them with and made it into a golden image because it was still under that system. So you God brought them out physically. Spiritually, they were still enslaved to this occult system. Now you see why they had to die. God was not going to start a nation of chosen people under the influence of the occult. They died out in the woods. The only ones who escaped out of that generation, y'all know it, was what? Joshua and Caleb. Because they had a what? Different spirit. Remember, it came out of Egypt, praise God, and they had that they served Pharaoh. They were surrounded by idols and things of that nature, and they got delivered, but they didn't get delivered. And they carried those practices in the woods, and God killed them there. Okay, so again, I want you to understand how God feels about it. So when we watch our horoscope, and all, I want you to know how God really feels about that. Okay, when you say you're a Cancer or a Scorpio or a Sagittarius or a Libra, I want you to understand how God, abomination, yes, which is the strongest form of hate that God uses for us in the English language. He hates it. He said, I will not have any other gods before me. He said, I am the Lord your God. I will not have any other gods before me. He's serious about that. And they are Christians, they are tongue-talking, prophesying, preaching believers with Scorpio tags. You cannot drink, or you can't eat from two tables, okay? Now, so let's talk about astrology. So since we love astrology so much, we love horoscopes and all that good stuff, so we're going to talk about it. Okay? All right. So astrology is a prediction by planets or moon, horoscopes, or the observing of times. Now, the Bible doesn't go into detail about astrology, but it makes its position very clear. It is a heathen practice that leads us to disaster. Our lives as children of God should not be determined by the stars. Here you are, full of the Holy Ghost. And you got to go in the grocery store and read a book to tell you who you're going to meet today. You got the Holy Ghost of God speaking in tongues, preaching, and laying hands against our devils, but we're being led about by idols. God hates it. God hates it. So the Bible warns against false predictions. Somebody open up in Jeremiah chapter 2. Somebody get Daniel chapter 2. Somebody get Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2, and somebody get Daniel chapter 2. Let me know when you have it. Jeremiah chapter 10, 2. Okay, Daniel chapter 2, 1 through 4. Read that for me, please.
Okay. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep went from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king and Sirach, O king, live forever, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show it.
So here they were so smart. They said, tell us the dream, and then we'll tell you the interpretation. But with Daniel, Daniel told him the dream. Amen. He said, this is what you dream, and this is what it means.
Amen.
And so, but again, you see that these kings, and we talked about this last week with Celtic prophets and things of that nature, that serve these kings, heathen kings, saw, they had their own, remember we talked about court prophets last week? They had their own astrologers. They had their own people that would tell them. They would have this, hey, what does this mean? Okay, and God had, y'all know the story, Nebuchadnezzar, God turned him into a bird or something and put him out in the woods, and he grew feathers and claws. Okay, God dealt with him real strong. Read Jeremiah 10, 10 and 2 through, Pastor.
Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heathen, for the heathen are dismayed at them.
Signs, watching signs. Okay, so God condemns the practice of worshiping the sun, the moon, the stars, or any deities or demons associated with it. Taurus is a demon over the month of what, May? Gemini is a demon that ranks, it's a prince demon that ranks over June. So according to these devils, every child born under July is Cancer. That's the demon that they're up under. And so no matter where you are, that one word from horoscope for Cancer belongs to all of us.
Jesus.
Let's just say all of us are born in July. So you mean to tell me, there's one demon that's going to govern who we meet. This is who you're supposed to love. Don't connect with the Aries. And the one God has for you may be born in April or whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
But that's how this is. These are prince spirits that rule over the calendar. And so whenever we're reading that, we are sacrificing the time we're supposed to be spending in prayer or in meditating in the word. We have sacrificed that time to the god called Taurus, or Cancer, or Aquarius, or Capricorn. And guess what? People literally rule and govern their life by it. My horoscope say don't go outside today, so I'm going to work from home. Don't you know if you give something power over you, it's going to take power over you? So God hates it. So these are demons now. And I'm telling you, a lot of Christians are falling for it. They don't see no harm in it, but they're serving another god. This is called idolatry. And God hates it. You can't, listen, there's a scripture, I don't know if it's probably toward the end, but you can't even enter the kingdom of God being an idolater. Oh, my God. I'll get to that later on. So anyway, these are practices of heathens, you know, like we just heard. And in Isaiah chapter 47, verse 10 through 14, God rebuked the Babylonians for practicing astrology. This is what he said. This is Isaiah 47, 10 through 14. He said, you have trusted in your wickedness. Listen, therefore evil shall come upon you. In other words, as they trusted in that astrological sign, they invited demons to govern it. That's what God said. He said, you trusted in your wickedness, so evil comes upon you. In other words, reading those horoscopes open doors for demons to govern your life and for God to curse your life. That's what the Bible said. You curse with the curse. That's how serious this is, okay? So he said, therefore evil shall come upon you. Listen, trouble will fall upon you. Isaiah 47:10-14. He says, so let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators, he said, let them stand up and let them save you. In other words, he said, when you go through things in your life, since you want to run to the horoscope, run to the horoscope. Don't run to the altar. Run to the horoscope. Run to the cancer devil and tell the cancer devil to save your household. He said, let them save you from what shall come upon you. He said, behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. So now let's look on to more in the occult. Let's look at the magic spells and enchantments and charming and sorcery and wizardry and witchcraft. All right, these are all called counterfeit miracles. You know, the Bible tells us that there's a spiritual gift called the working of miracles. Well, you know, the enemy is going to duplicate everything that God does, right? Remember in Egypt, when Moses threw his rod down and it turned to a snake, what happened? The magicians are... So, you know, we got to get delivered from, oh, the devil don't have no power, the devil can't do it. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Matter of fact, the Bible said, the Lord said, look, he can transform himself as an angel of light. He's a master of deception. And so if we're not careful, if we're not sure, we're following signs and looking at stuff, and God said, that is not me. Matter of fact, he said, for the wicked seek after a sign. So we're looking at counterfeit miracles now. It's magics and spells and this thing now people get with the sawdust and the gold dust. And I can't find no scripture. If I can't find a scripture, I'm so sorry. I'll let you have that experience. And God bless you with your experience. But if I can't find it in scripture, I don't want no parts of it.
Amen.
I don't want no parts of it. Okay. If it has nothing to do with salvation, I want no parts of it.
Amen.
All right. So in many cases, some of this occult magic or divination, these are all manifestations of demonic powers. You call the psychic network and they tell you exactly what's going on in your life. This is a demon. Oh, they told me the truth. No, that was a devil that was following your whole family line that opened up the mouth of that lying prophet and which was a prophet. Balaam was a prophet, right? Here's the thing. Just because a person is a prophet doesn't mean that they're a holy prophet.
Amen.
Satan has prophets too, right?
Amen.
And so those in the psychic line, they are also prophets. They're also, that's why the word comes divining or python. They're able to use these false spirits. Remember the woman in Acts 16? These are the servants of the Most High God. She was telling the truth. She was telling, and so we have to be careful. Oh, that prophet is accurate. We've done that. Oh, that was an accurate word. And the spirit behind that was an antichrist spirit. Okay, so this girl, she told the truth, but Paul perceived this was a devil. This was a snake talking through this girl's mouth, and she was making money for her masters. So counterfeit miracles are a thing that's deceiving a lot of people because they this has really happened to me, and I had this experience, and I felt fire, and I felt butterflies, and I felt all of this stuff, and it was a true experience. You really did feel that fire. You really did feel them butterflies. You felt the hair on the back of your neck. You really did feel it, but it wasn't God. It was not God. Okay, because God's one. He wants to do more than just make you feel good. God want to get in and change your soul. God wants to do more than just flip you out and turn you over and make you feel fire. He wants you to get up off the floor delivered. You know, he wants you to be a witness for him and to destroy the enemy's stronghold in the earth. So it's more than just a feeling. And I think a lot of us get caught up in the feeling. Oh, I just felt God. I felt God. And but there's no change. You know, I felt God all year, but you're just wicked. You're still cursing. You're still lying and cheating. You might have to get past the feeling now. We need some real change. Okay. So anyway, like I stated in the girl with Acts chapter 16, she told the truth. She was prophesying the truth, but she was under the influence of Python, which is the Greek for divination. And we saw what happened with that. Queen Jezebel, we are very familiar with her, operated in witchcraft. Okay? 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22. This woman operated in witchcraft, and everybody connected to her, their lives were in danger. Everybody connected. Matter of fact, the whole region suffered drought because of her. All right? She brought a catastrophe on herself, all of Israel. God threw her out the window, had dogs to eat her bones. She didn't even have a proper burial. Okay, God killed the whole house of Ahab because of her. He hates that witchcraft spirit. And we talked about Saul. Saul lost out. Saul lost his kingdom. God said, I'm going to give your kingdom to somebody better than you. I'm going to give it to your neighbor, somebody you know. I'm going to give it to somebody better than you. And that's exactly what God did. God hates that. He hates. I'm talking about that a little bit. Anyway, so back to Jezebel. God denounces those who conjure up spells. Y'all know how this call Miss Rosie and not Miss Rosie. I want Miss Janie Man. I'm gonna stick on Janie Man. Call Miss Janie Man for $20. She'll give you a potion, and all you gotta do is put this oil in here and grab this piece of hair and grab this out of the toothbrush and shake it up and whisper a little jingle over it, and he'll love you for the rest of your life. You really want somebody to love you after you done did all of that? And you know that that's why they love you? What if you like, what if the little potion break? I guess you just you know, break the potion and he gone, you know? But you would be amazed. People do this. People do this, especially overseas. They're strong in that. It's not as tolerated here in the States as it is overseas. But you got your Mr. Buzzard and all those folks. You got them. What's the lady on Sugar Creek? Miss Pam? What's her name? Sister Pam? What else? Not to go to mom, I'm just saying. But there's a lady on Sugar Creek. I can't remember her name, but Miss Doris, I don't know what her name is, but anyway, she's got her little shop on thing, and she got a big hand up,
yeah.
Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. What's the lady's name? Y'all know Cleo died. She didn't see that coming. You see everything else.
Oh, Cleo died?
Yeah. Cleo gone. I hope she found Jesus when she left. Yeah, she gone. But yeah, they got the palm up, you know? We're going to read your palm. Come here. If you get this line connected, that means you're going to get married. If that's separated, that means you're divorced. And you'll live your whole life. Well, I guess he's going to leave you then. And you parent every time he leaves out the house. You coming back? You coming back? Because you led by what somebody done told you, some devil done told you. You'll run him off. I knew you was going to leave. No, I was actually going to stay. But you let that palm dictate your life. Okay? So the Bible says anyone who does these things are detestable to the Lord. God warns of ultimate judgment. This is found in Revelation chapter 28, 21. Revelation 21, verse 8 says that those who practice magic arts, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur, lake of fire. That ain't something to play with. Okay? You don't come back from that. There's no second chance from that. So this is a very, very serious thing. And too many of God's people, we know the wicked are engaged in it, but too many of God's people are becoming a part of it. A lot of these false prophets and some of these ones that you don't know is false are running game on God's people. You know, they're running game on God's people, and God is exposing some. Some he's keeping them hidden to punish the ones who don't have discernment. I got quiet. We'll move on. So those who practice witchcraft will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is Galatians 5, 20, 21. Those who practice witchcraft will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there's different types of witchcraft. There's the dark witchcraft, right? Then there's what they call a white witchcraft, you know, where they just love everybody. You know, they don't put spells on people. They're called the Wiccans. I went to school with some of them. And let me tell you, I did some research on the Wiccans. And do you know what? 49%, because most of them that I went to school with became nurses. And they were in the seminary right along with me. And boy, that class, that was a class and a half. But anyway, God let me experience that for a reason. But anyway, they don't believe in harming people. They don't put curses or hexes on people. They don't do that. They love everybody. They love trees and frogs. They are people of nature. They're the ones you find out, and not all of them, like my scripture, that's not always the case, but many of them would treat an animal better than they would treat a human being. They are creatures. They believe in Mother Earth. And so we don't believe in digging over here, and we just believe in the earth, and they have their little altars and things out in tree outside in the yard with trees and rocks, and they just worship the fire, and it is so peaceable and it's so sweet. But they're witches. They worship the earth. They worship creatures. It's like the Bible said in Romans, they worship the creature more than the creator. Okay? But those are Wiccans. But 49% of them, their careers, listen to this, are found in health and helps. They love working in hospitals. Go figure, where our babies are born. Hence your warfare. Yes. So, and 49% of the, this was some book that I read, that their career choice, and like I said, many of those that I went to school with became nurses. They want to work in the healthcare system. Or helps with social services and things. They want to be around people because they can make life better for everybody. And then after they get done making you better, they're going to go outside and worship a tree. You see what I'm saying? Or they want to work around your kids. Because they love people. These are Wiccans. They don't put curses and spells. They don't do curses and spells. They just love people. But they worship the earth. And they are sorcerers. So, they will not inherit the kingdom of God, Galatians 5:20-21. Some of them work with you. Some of them work with you. But you'll never know. Because they don't act out. They don't act out. They're thinking, you'll never know. Unless they, some of them will tell you, some of them won't. But a lot of them will work along with you. Especially you, those of you who work in social services or healthcare. A lot of them, teachers, education. That's where they are. These practices are antichrist and are in rebellion against him. Okay? Let me give you some scripture. This is found in Acts chapter 13, verses 9 through 11. Paul dealt with one of these deceivers. Acts chapter 13, verses 9 through 11. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, I think we just talked about that. Oh, full of, this is Bar Jesus, remember? Oh, full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, and how you kept perverting the ways of God, you kept interrupting the gospel from being preached. He was a false prophet. That's what false prophets do. They fill the people's ears with so much candy that by the time they hear the truth, they can't get there and understand it. What you mean I gotta live right? That prophet told me that in 3 days, I'm gonna have a new car. And here come a real prophet. You need a job. Oh, you just hating on me. No, you need a job. So, again, you're looking at here. What did he say? He said, you pervert the righteousness of God. And that's what a false prophet does. They fill the people up with so much candy and so much get ready and God's going to do it. But they don't preach. You got to live holy, come out of sin, quit lying, quit cheating. They don't tell you that because you're going to stop giving them money. Okay? These spirits are out for gain. They care nothing about your soul. And so that's why they're so popular, because they carry this popcorn gospel and this cotton candy gospel I ain't gonna call a man name, but that God is, he just loves everybody. Yeah, he does, but he doesn't like everybody. Okay? And God has a loving side of him, and God has a not so loving side of him, which we don't want to meet. So let's move on. So we talk about Paul dealing with Bar Jesus, a false prophet. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, the Bible strongly warns us not to consult mediums or spiritual guides. There's a church down the street. It's called the Spiritual Something Church. No, it ain't even called Spiritual Something Church. It's the Spirit Something. So even some of these churches are under the influence of these spirits. And so you got to watch out for them. This devil just bowed. He just put his name right on the sign. It's okay. But, So the Bible warns us in Isaiah 8:19 not to consult them, but to inquire of the Lord. It's condemned and forbidden. Ezekiel chapter 21:21, divination and spiritism were despised practices of the heathens. I mean, scripture's full. I found some scriptures on this. Oh, my goodness. This is one of the reasons why King Saul died, because he consulted a medium. 1 Chronicles 10:13-14, he went to a medium instead of going to God. Y'all know the story. He was supposed to kill all the witches in the area. He left one. And when she came to his house, she was scared because she thought he was coming to kill her. She really thought he was coming to kill her. And then he said, no, go get Samuel for me. And for the life, that's one of those things. I'm like, God, why did you allow that to happen? But God brought Samuel back. And Samuel rebuked Saul from the grave. Now, you know you jacked up. When you get rebuked from somebody from the grave. Samuel came up and was like, "What? Why did you bring me back here? You wore me out while I was on earth. I'm trying to lay in Abraham's bosom. And you still calling me." He was angry. He was angry. He cursed him again and went on back. He did. He was. Looking up, it should be somewhere near 1 Chronicles. And 1 Samuel 15 is when the rebellion, look at 16. Look at 1 Samuel 16. But I think 1 Samuel 15 is where God, where he dealt with him about Agag. So look at 1 Samuel 16. It should be in there where he went to the witch of Endor. Just do a topical search. Witch of Endor. E-N-D-O-R. And this was the witch he was supposed to get rid of. All witches. And he didn't. He left that one. And went right back to her when he couldn't get a word from God, which is what people do. Can't get a word from God, so they call 1-900, give me a sign. 1-900, prophesy to me. And he got himself in deeper trouble. My God. He was already jacked up, but he got himself in some deeper trouble then. That's 1 Chronicles 10:13-14. He consulted a medium for guidance rather than God. Okay? We look at Daniel. We just talked about that, how Daniel, and this is where I wanted to share that even as people of God, some of us are assigned to heathen places. You understand? Amen. Daniel was assigned to Babylon. That was a heathen place. So not everything, you know, we, for some reason, we think every place that God sends us is just, everybody's going to be anointed. They're going to speak in tongues. They're going to be angels all over the hallway. And sometimes God will send you straight to the belly of hell. You know what I'm saying? You are you working with hellions, the grand hellion, the great grand hellion, all of them. And God got you right in there. He's got you right there, you know, for his purpose, for his glory. Right? That's not for everybody, but that's for some. That was where Daniel, that's where Daniel had to serve God. Some of these places where we have to serve God are hard places. You know, some of us have to serve God in some very hard places. And Daniel had to serve in a hard place, but God got glory. Okay? God got glory out of it. So in Ezekiel 13 and 8, God calls the word of diviners nonsense, lies, deception, and deception for foolish people. God calls people who consult a witch fools. He calls them fools. You should know better. Ezekiel 13:3, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Matter of fact, he tells them, don't even be afraid of them. Oh, if you don't listen to me, you're going to die. No, I'm not. You know, I'm the prophet. No, you're not. You woe unto the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit. God said they have seen nothing. They haven't seen nothing. Leviticus 20:27, if an Israelite lived in the deceitful practice of being a medium, it was punishable by death. God killed witches. Remember, it was something he hated because they were trying to take his place. They're trying to take a place, take a area in a person's life that belonged to God. So it was, with Nimrod, it was rebellion. Witchcraft is rebellion. Leviticus 19:31, the presence of a medium among God's people was considered a defilement. Okay? It was not holy grounds if you had a witch in there. Let's take your shoes out. We're on holy ground. You got somebody coming to God saying, no, just put your shoes on because it's not holy ground. Clean the house. Clean it up. Okay? So moving down. So all forms of the occult include divination, necromancy, which is calling up the dead, astrology, hypnotism, which is like yoga. You zone out somewhere. Oh, I need to relax after work. I had such a stressful day. I'm going to sit on the floor, Indian style, and I'm just going to zone out to the universe. Then you open yourself and some devil flying by like, ooh, here go a place. We found a room. We found a house. And she just empty. And you get up off the floor. No, Lord Jesus. No. You meditate day and night. Don't ever leave your mind open. Okay? So divination, necromancy, astrology, hypnotism, and fortune telling and magic are all forbidden practices. God hates them. Witchcraft, as we stated earlier, was openly and widely practiced in Old Testament times, and it still is. But I was talking about the different types of witchcraft. You got the black witchcraft, which, you know, they do stuff with most potions and spells and hexes and voodoo and all of that stuff. Then you got the white witchcraft, which is the ones that seem so nice, but they witches too. The wicked and different ones. The ones that I call them the granola bars, the ones that just love nature. And then you got the charismatic witches, which we see in the church. Jezebel and Ahab and all that. You have the charismatic witches in the church. So you got the three different categories of witches. The black witchcraft, white witchcraft, and charismatic witchcraft. And so we see all of that. Balaam operated in charismatic witchcraft. He couldn't hurt the people, so he manipulated them. And that's what witchcraft is, to manipulate and to dominate somebody's mind. So I can't get God to change his mind about your life. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to give you a word, or I'm going to put you in a situation where you're going to curse God on your own. That's what charismatic witchcraft does. It sets you up for you to get yourself in trouble with God. In Acts chapter 8, 9, and 11, we talk about Simon. These are the four examples of witchcraft in the church. At least four, but not four. Acts chapter 8, 9, and verse 11, we talk about Simon, how he bewitched the people of Samaria. This devil was so strong, he bewitched the whole city. The whole city, he bewitched the people of Samaria. The Bible says, given out that he was a great one. They followed him because he had amazed them or had bewitched them for a long time. Thank God for Paul. Shut that thing down. Okay. In Acts 13, verse 8, Elymas, the sorcerer, we just talked about that. His name and Bar-Jesus, they're all the same person. Try to keep the governor from believing God. The third one, which we talked about that, the damsel, the girl with the spirit of Python, Acts 16:16. She was a fortune teller. She told the truth, but it was under the wrong influence. Okay, and then in Ephesus, in Acts chapter 19, listen, these people, a number of them, and these were believers, had been practicing sorcery. They brought their books and burned them at the public bonfire. I think I wrote the scripture down because the Bible actually talked about how much money they lost, and it was in the millions. That's how many books of witchcraft and sorcery they had. That, where did I put that scripture at? That they, their stuff actually came into the millions. They had just that many books. What did I put it? I guess I did. Must came across that in my studies. So we talked about the four different types in the New Testament. In the last days, Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:1, y'all know this. The Spirit of God tells us that in the last days, people will depart from the faith. Are we not seeing that? Right? They're not following the Word of God anymore. They're following doctrines of devils, teachings from demons, stuff that makes life easy. Not all miracles are from God. Satan can perform signs and wonders too. We need to understand that. Know the tree by the fruit. We have to quit being so sensationalized by what we see. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Look at the fruit behind that tree. Know that occult involvement opens doors for demonic possession. Again, dealing with yoga and all that stuff. If you're sitting somewhere opening yourself up to it, they're going to come in. If you open the door, they will come in. And they come in, the Bible says in Matthew, in groups. Groups of what? Seven. Okay? They come in by roots. Oh, she got a lion spirit. No, that's probably the ranking devil. But under that devil, there's more. Okay? So occult involvement leads to demonic possession. It opens the doors for demons to enter. Because listen, you mess around in their realm. I'm trying to get a word from God. I think the Lord is saying so. Now, it's not by faith. It's by your own spirit. And so now you're reaching. But you're not going high enough. Your faith can't, it is not there. So, but you want to give a word. You want to deliver a word. But it ain't coming from God. So now you're reaching in the second heavens and they're going to answer. And you open yourself up to a spirit called false prophecy. Okay? Or soothsaying. Because you want everybody to be happy and love your prophecy. So now we're soothed. We're telling everybody it's going to be okay. It's going to work out. Sometimes it's not. Okay? Let me move on. I thought I had so many. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, the Bible says, for such are false apostles. So you can have false apostles and false prophets. Deceitful workers. People working in ministry under the influence of spirits of deceit. They don't care about your soul. They don't care about your children. They don't care about your well-being. They are there for a selfish gain. The Bible says such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves. God called me. God didn't call you. I had a dream. Jesus came. Jesus wasn't there. The Bible said transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed. And this is where we get the spirit of deception, into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end is according to their works. So this is why we see so much occult ism in the church. You don't see people being filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't see demons being cast out. You don't see healing taking place. You don't see deliverance. That's a scary thing. Because one of two things is happening. Either that the leader of that church is ignorant and don't know they're supposed to do that, or that church is up under some type of stronghold that won't permit it in there. And you'll be sitting in that midst and you're like, I know God want to move. I feel like God want to move. You're the only one brought Jesus with you. You know? And you're like, I know God want to move. And you feel a measure of freedom. And then it's all the minute you want to reach out and do something, something's like, oh, all right. You want to know? Because there's a prince over that church that won't let you do it. It will not let you do it. Y'all know I've been there. I'm seeing what God want to do, and I know what God want to do. And the minute I get on the altar to pray, I got three people. Oh, no, she okay. Come on back over here. They don't want people. We just want you to sing. We don't want you to say nothing. Just sing. Amen. If you sing too long, that's okay. All right, we're going to shut you down. Because they don't want the people set free. People get set free, they start to sing. They start to discern. Start to really feel God. And so this is happening in a lot of our churches. That's why, for a reason, I haven't been out a lot of places. I don't go out of town, but a lot of these local places, it's some stuff. And God hasn't, he hasn't released me just yet. But many of our churches are under that occult stronghold. And our people are not being set free. They're having church. And they're having good church. I mean, they tear walls down having church. And they come in a dry devil and leave out a dry devil. And they're taking those same devils to your jobs and to your schools and to your communities. Okay? And then you got the wizard pastor bishop co-signing it. Go ahead and praise him. Go ahead. We don't need no word today. Go ahead and pray the shot the whole service long.
My God.
You think you're going to sit in a service with Jesus Christ and shout all night?
No.
Y'all know Paul, that man broke his neck. Paul said, we'll be right back.
Right.
He put a commercial break in that.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to finish this word. You see what I'm saying? So watch out for that. We don't need no preaching. We don't need no preaching. You better have some word. The shouting is not going to save you.
Amen.
This is what we're seeing, people of God. We've seen a lot of occultism in our churches. And that's why sometimes it's so hard for some of our loved ones to get delivered and set free, because they're so swayed by this thing. They don't, why I got to do that? I don't have to do that because I'm over here and we can do what we want to do. You look like you're wrong. Let me move past that. So, there are consequences, amen, for being involved in the occult. One is death by stoning. That's in the Old Testament. We find that Saul died because of his participation in the seance, bringing up the dead. And let me just say that briefly. We have to be very careful about our communication with the dead. Very careful with them. I know some of us have dreams. I have dreams. But I always say, God, I said, now, you know what? Now, I know my mother used to absent from the body, present with the Lord. And let me tell you something. Demons will use the bodies of your loved ones. He'll use the face of your loved one and come a dream and don't forget how to make the fruit cake for Christmas and so and here you wake up, grandma told me how to make this recipe, and that wasn't grandma, that was a devil using grandma's image. We have to be very careful about that. You know what I'm saying? I'm very, very, very careful about that, because the enemy knows when you're grieving and when you're hurting over something. And I'm telling you, he'll use your weakness. He'll use it against you. So be very, very careful. I've tried in my own life, because I've had loved ones that gone on and I had dreams about them. And I said, God, I said, I want to find this in Scripture. That's just the kind of person I am. I want to find this experience in Scripture. And the only experience that I can find in Scripture where somebody talked to the dead was in Saul's case, which was necromancy, which killed him. And in Jesus' case. But in Jesus' case, he was glorified. And he entered, and I think Apostle hit it, he entered right into the realm where Moses and Elijah was. And then the only other illustration that I have is where Abraham was, Lazarus was talking to Abraham. And Abraham, it was the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man died and Lazarus died. And y'all know the story, there was a conversation there. And so in that conversation, the rich man was asking Abraham to send somebody back to his, what's going on around here? you got to be careful. You're talking about stuff like this. Apostle Eckhart did that one time. He was doing a teaching, and I think his podium fell or something. He's like, the blood of Jesus. The devil's not messing with your stuff when you start talking about them. But, but in that case, the rich man said, he said, Father Abraham, he said, send somebody back. So, in that aspect, it's possible, but boy, is that a thin line, you know? And I'm like, I just don't want to cross. You know, if I'm not sure, I'm all right. You know, I just don't want to cross that. But in that particular instance, he did say, Father Abraham, send somebody back. Tell my brothers, don't come here. And Abraham said, he said they got Moses and the prophets and all of the word, and he said they won't believe them. They're not gonna believe somebody coming back from the dead either. And so again, that's a thin line. All I'm saying is, be careful. I'm not saying God can't do it, but until I get a founded substantiation in Scripture, I'm just very careful with that. I'm very careful about that. You know, I'm just careful. Yeah, that's the area God is still teaching me. You know what I'm saying? So until I get it, I turn that dream over to Jesus and I said, God, I don't know. Let me just move on past that. But you don't want to get into a conversation with, you know, grandma and tell me where the lottery number is and, you know, tell me where to hit the money. You know, you want to be careful. You got to be careful about that. Okay? So in Galatians 5:19-21, another consequence of dealing in the occult is refused entrance into the kingdom. And we talk about Revelation 21:8, that the end shall be the lake of fire. So it's really, really, really serious. It's really serious. Witchcraft is parallel to rebellion. It's an abomination. People have sold their souls to the devil. And I'll tell you this. If somebody get Nahum chapter 3. Somebody get Nahum chapter 3. There was... There was... let me go back and look at my last thing and see where I was with that. Oh, there, the spirit of murder is a sacrifice to, and we talked about this last week, to bloodthirst devils, bloodlust devils. Spirit of murder is. Have you thought about when you, you know, God forbid you witness somebody murder somebody, but say for instance on the movies, right? And you know if a person is rage, or they're angry, or they're feeling some type of demonic manifestation of something, and then they shoot the person and they feel better? You see what I'm saying? It's like they shut that thing down through murder. And it's what it is, the Lord showed me. He said it's a sacrifice. They have sacrificed that person's soul so that they can have peace. Yeah. Even abortions are like that. It's like, you know, I made a mistake or this happened to me, so I don't want to live with this, so let me just get rid of it. And it's a sacrifice. Thank God for Jesus that forgive us of our sins. But it's a murder is a set. It's a, you're talking about children being sacrificed to idols or being sacrificed to devils. That's what that is. Okay? That's deep. And if people don't get delivered from that, you know, spirits of grief, torment, all that, not unforgiveness, forgiving themselves, it can really do damage. It can hinder them. Who has Nahum chapter 3? Who? Well, has somebody read it? how many verses is it?
Nahum chapter 3:19.
read verses 4 through 7.
Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored Mara, the mistress of witchcraft, that sell of nations through her whoredom, and families through her witchcraft. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and it will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee, and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Mm-hmm. Who will bemoan her? Mm-hmm. Whence shall I seek comfort for thee? Mm-hmm.
Read verse 19.
There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruise of thee shall clap their hands over thee. Mm-hmm. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually.
Wow. And so this was what, Nineveh? This was in the book of Nahum, and this was the results of their harlotries, their witchcraft. And God said, you know, I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to expose you. I'm not going to heal you. People are going to look at you and mock you, because again, you're his enemy now. You've committed these abominations, and you are my enemy. So witchcraft or the occult, any aspect of it greatly displeases and angers God. It is not something, well, you know, God's going to forgive me. God understands. No, he really doesn't. And he's not, you know, he's, unless you repent. And listen, with the people of Ephesus, they had to bring all of their tokens to say, and it had to burn. You know, some, well, you know, I just won't look at that no more. I just won't do it no more. No, burn it. Get it out of your house. Next week, we're going to talk about spiritual house cleansing. And there are things, let me tell you, things that we've been holding on from before salvation. God said, you need to get that stuff out of your house. And you wonder why there's no peace. You wonder why you're seeing black spirits walking up and down your hall. You folks keep giving you stuff, and you bring it in your house, and they're opening doors and portals for devils. They're opening doors and portals for devils. And so we have to be very, very vigilant about what we bring in our homes, what we keep around our children, our influence. You have to be careful. There are items that are sacrificed to devils. People, let me tell you something. I'm going to make this real plain. That's Yvonne. I'm getting ready to give you something. But before I give it to you, I'm going to bless it. And then I'm going to give it to you. Right? Say, friend, I'm going to give you this towel. And Lord, I just pray that this towel will be a blessing, Pastor John. I pray it'll just bless it, Jesus. Okay? Now, you know what I did? I blessed it. I spoke a word over it. Now, she don't know that. I'm going to hand it to her. Now, what if I spoke a curse over it? Doesn't it work the same way? Oh, Prophets, thank you. Oh, I just always wanted this. I appreciate that. And the minute she get her car breakdown, her lights go off, she loses her job. It was a cursed object. It was something sacrificed to devils. So what I'm saying is, the same way you take something and consecrate it to God. Remember how we dedicate babies? Lord, we give this to you, Father and Keeper. Don't you know the same way you do that? witches consecrate yourself to? I'm just saying. We have to be very, very careful. Okay? So let me try to wrap this up, then I'm going to open up a question. So, 9 forbidden practices, human sacrifice, which I just talked about, the abortion, and all types of murder. Okay? Now, if you've done these things, ask God to forgive you, then ask them to forgive yourself. Okay? Because there's healing in the blood. But they do these things to seek peace. It's a sacrifice to these, what is it? Molly, what's the name of the child god? Molly. What's the name of the child god? Child demon. Okay, I don't think Molly was. I can't think of it. Anyway, divination is a forbidden practice. Manipulating things to get a word and you didn't get it from God. Astrology. Don't trust the zodiac. Please, throw your stuff away. The enchanter, somebody who's always speaking spells and things, seducing you. Witchcraft, you know that, trying to mess with people's minds and things of that nature. Charmers, one who manipulate objects using demonic powers. Consulting with familiar spirits, which are your psychics, that's giving you all these great words, and they're not getting it from the Lord. Wizards, the ones who practice magical arts, and the necromancers, those who are in contact with the dead. Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Or communion has light with darkness. And so what concord has Christ with Belial? What part has he that believed that with an infidel? The Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them. That's what God had to do with Abraham. Come out and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. And my last scripture is Deuteronomy 13:1-5. If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or wonder, and a sign or wonder come to pass where if he speaks to you, saying, let's go after other gods, which you have not known, let us serve him. Do not listen to the voice of that prophet or that dreamer. For the Lord your God is proving you to know whether you love God with all your heart and with all your soul. The Bible says you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and cleave to them, and that prophet or that dreamer you shall put to death. Now, we don't kill people today. Don't you kill nobody. But just shut that person's down, shut down the access. Kill that part of the relationship. Because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you out of the way which the Lord God commands you to walk in. So put the evil away from the midst of you. Homework assignment, 1 Timothy, Paul talked about the doctrine of demons. I'm looking for a doctrine of devils that you've heard, or maybe you were up under it one time, I don't know. But a doctrine of devils, some type of teaching that is demonically inspired that you're hearing today, and you know, whatever that is. In terms of Abraham having to come out of his homeland, who else in the Word of God had to relocate for destiny's sake? Who else in the Word of God had to relocate? Ooh, tell us homework, guys. had to relocate for destiny's sake and get away from corruption. Let's see. I want to do something about astrology. Astrology. I want you to, what I want you to do is look into some of these fashion designers. And we're looking for symbolism of the occult in their clothes. Because the enemy is so cunning. People are wearing things now, and they have no idea that their clothing has been sacrificed to devils, to idols. So we're looking for a fashion designer, and we're looking for some of the symbolisms, or some of the words, whatever. You may have to do some research on what some of these words mean. And let's look to see what that's being merchandised out here that has been sacrificed to idols. So that's 3 assignments. You've got, give me a doctrine of devils, who else in the Word of God had to relocate for destiny's sake, and we're looking at our fashion industry today. Looking at the fashion industry and some of these designers who are using symbolisms that with clothing that has been sacrificed to idols or devils. Mm-hmm.